Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of kings. God damn, I'm hot. Himself, I am the hot rod. And I'm on the phone line, I have, you know, Sean Black.
Oh, thank you very much for the intro. Yeah, Sean Black in the building once again. Thank you very
and
much.
And also I have on the phone line is the main reason why we couldn't do the show last week, because she forgot to pay the bills, the light bill again, so we had no power in New York City for the last couple of days. I give you Queen T, everyone.
What's up? Do not blame that on me. That's on you why the power went off.
No, it was all you. You and Sean Black, you cannot blame me. I'm the hot rod, of course. Nothing can be pointed to me. I'm too damn good.
Oh, Sean, please handle him.
Well, that's not my job. I don't do requests. Oh, good grief. But yeah, it's going to be one of those shows. So everybody get ready for it.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, the number to call is 347-989-8402. That number once again is 347-989-8402. And of course, once again, there's so many topics, so we will try to go through all of them as much as we can. But of course, what a shocker. Throughout the four years that we've been doing the show, the two topics that keep coming up over and over, and I keep telling Sean, like, I can't stand talking about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. For some reason, we keep talking about it. No, it's not Trump. Oh, believe it or not, we don't talk about Trump that much. But it's cop killing of unarmed black men. And another topic that we always can, some reason, cannot avoid is mass shootings. Right now, in July 29th, is our 210th day in the year. And this year alone, we had at least reported over 280 mass shootings this year alone. And of course, the latest one, we had two actually over the weekend, one in California yesterday, and one not too far from us in Brooklyn. Sean, I don't know what to say anymore, Queen T.
It seems like we start at least once every month with the same topic. So I can understand why you're kind of out of loss for words on this one.
Because it's like, you know, we know the government's not going to do anything. We know they need to do background checks. We know guns not a problem. The people are the problem. Someone will mention, you know, these people have mental health issues. One person will say, you know, the person that did the mass shooting yesterday was about, you know, trying to get credit, you know, trying to be famous by killing people. But yesterday's mass shooting involved a 6-year-old kid. I believe 3 people died and like 11 people hurt. The one that happened in Brooklyn, not too far from where we live, it was in a rally of, it's called Alzheimer's Day. It's like a community get together. And you have congressmen, politicians there, or at least 1,000 people gathering. And reportedly, 2 people came out and started shooting for whatever reason. Like I said, Sean, I don't know what to say about mass shootings anymore. What's your intake?
Well, the reason why you're tired of it, and it's the same, probably the same reason why I'm tired of it, it's the same reason why Lady T is tired of talking about this, is because this is the same thing that always happens all the time, where we hear, usually, at least as reported by the news, in a minority community or a community that is quote-unquote ethnic, and we hear about the difference in reporting is what we usually see, like the one in Brownsville, Brooklyn, 12 people shot. One person dead. 38-year-old is dead. And this is like almost like a block party, kind of like they get together, they cordon like a park, and they have, you know, competitions and have dancing and music and food. It's like a festival. And then, of course, because of something silly that tends to happen almost all the time at these kinds of gatherings, there has to be some kind of gun violence. You juxtapose that to the way that the news was covering this garlic festival, which is what happened in California on Sunday afternoon, where three people were killed. One was, like you said, there was a 6-year-old, and another one was a 13-year-old girl. And the first time that I saw the story, I think one of the people had actually, on video, I guess they had recorded it on their cell phone. The first thing that I said was the first thing that the person said, okay, who shoots at a garlic festival? And that's the first thing that I'm like, it's a garlic festival. I've never heard of a garlic festival before.
You know what? I'm sorry not to be an a-hole about this. A garlic festival would never, I would never heard of it. It's a California thing, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's huge. It's a 2-day event.
Yes.
I mean, if it happened in New York, it probably will happen like in a day, in a few hours. Apparently, people love garlic. You don't see vampires over there. But that's a key question out right there. Who will come to a garlic festival for no apparent reason besides quote-unquote mental illness or depression or just trying to be famous and go out and just shooting people random? And, of course, before you finish, Sean Black, what happened to the shooter? The shooter's dead. So, as always, and like many other mass shooters, more questions than answers. Well, go ahead.
Yes, and interesting that you talk about the shooter at the garlic festival. And here's the scary part of this. The alleged shooter, I'm not even going to read his name, but he is 19 years old. And apparently was able to legally get an AK, I believe it was an AK-47 rifle that he used for the allegedly used for the shooting, was able to get it legally in Nevada back on July the 9th. So this person was sitting on doing something for at least 2 weeks before it actually happened. I don't know what triggered it. I don't know what the intention going forward, but obviously there's something going on here. And what we're going to hear, which we've heard, is thoughts and prayers. We've heard the same normal spiel that we normally hear when a shooting in a public environment happens, when there's more than 5 or 10 people killed or more than 5 or 10 people shot. Nothing's going to change. The tenor is never going to change, and the voice inflection isn't going to change. And more importantly, a lot of the politicians that are involved are not going to change. You got the ones that are on one side of the fence that are saying we need to make sure that there are valid background checks to make sure that a lot of these guns are off the street. Then you're going to have the other side that is going to say, it's not the guns that kill people, it's the people that kill people. And you need to be able to make sure that you teach people the right way to use the guns, and then it's not the guns themselves. So while we have this argument as far as who does what, when, and where, more and more people are going to die or get shot. And ironically, the shooting in Brownsville, and the only reason why I bring this up is that I remember this just looking at it on the news early this morning. There was one female that was shot and was only saved by her bra strap. The bullet hit her bra strap. And if it wasn't for the fact that her bra strap was thicker than normal, the bullet would have went right through her heart and killed her. But because of the angle, the way that the bullet hit, they said that when she went to the hospital, the bullet just fell right out of her bra strap. And she showed on the news where the bullet lodged in the bra strap. So I don't know what to say about this, but we seem to be seemingly at war with ourselves, whether it's racial, whether it's guns, violence, economically, as far as the haves and the have-nots, the disparity, the discrepancy between the rich and the poor, the continuing shrinkage of the middle class, the country seems to be eating itself from the inside out, and there has to be some kind of change, or it's going to get worse.
Queen T, anything you'd like to add on to this?
Yeah, first of all, because I'm very familiar with the person involved in the Brownsville shooting, Jason Pekin, that was 38 years old. That's a good friend of mine's family member. So I would like to say condolences to the family. And second of all, it's called the Old Timers Block Party. What they do, it's been going on for about 56 years now with no violence. So what they do is try to raise money for the community. People get together. There's people who come from all over visiting each other from, let's say, Maryland to North Carolina and so forth, places, you know, state to state. They come back to Brownsville. First of all, if anyone on the show has ever been in Brownsville and the structure of Brownsville is already set up for failure, that's number one. So they put things like this.
After all these years? After all these years, still set up for failure?
You want me to break it down for you? Why? Have you ever been to Brownsville?
Right on ahead.
Have you ever seen, number one, how close these projects are? They're still, I'm from this project, Langston Hughes. I'm from that project. It's all these projects are right on top of one another.
I'm not going to lie to you. The answer is no, because there's a reason why I don't have to go to Brownsville, because I've always been scared ever since as a child.
I'm just letting you know the structure of it. Secondly, it only goes up to eighth grade in that community. Why is there not a high school there and there's a high school in every other community? So you have events like this that they put together to bring the community together, number one, the Old Timers Party. It's not a block party as the news would describe.
Mm-hmm.
You have politicians. There was 100 cops out there and so forth. They're there for singing. It's no different than, let's say, the Harlem Festival that they'll have, or the African Festival and so forth. So the first day was Friday. Friday went good. Saturday they had this incident. And it's very unfortunate that people can't just enjoy themselves, food, fun, party, whatever the case may be, without it be fighting. It's very sad. It has gone on for so many years despite that. So everybody is waiting to be dispersed, and then all of a sudden this happens. It's very sad. When is the violence going to stop? And certain people like Eric Adams and Tony Hubert are even saying it. And I forgot the activist that grew up in the community, and she's now fighting for the community, for them to put youth programs and for them to put certain things. Certain things are cut out of certain budgets in these communities. These communities are not getting what they need. And right about now, they need these programs to save these youth who has idle time that feels like, okay, I'm going to just shoot up this party and not give a damn about anybody else's life. And it's very sad. And something needs to be done. So people should also be asking, why aren't there programs in these communities? Why aren't there at least a high school, a youth center or something, somewhere where these kids can go?
Exactly. Ironically, we had a block party in our neighborhood just Saturday. And there were, at various times, police would come by. It was like in groups of three. They would walk through the block, and then they would talk to people, I guess to ingratiate themselves with people there. Because, as you know, block parties usually have lots of children, lots of bike riding back and forth, and ice cream trucks, et cetera, et cetera. And this is something that I've noticed over the last, I'd say the last 3 years, where we didn't have police come in to spontaneously come to a block party and inspect the block party and then go about their way. But this is starting. This is something that I'm starting to see happen a lot, because of other block parties in the neighborhood that actually do that. Usually they will coordinate it with, well, to be able to have a block party for those that are outside of the tri-state area. When you have a block party, you have to coordinate it with the city and with your block association, so that they can pencil in times when they can cut off the blocks, get traffic, and let them know what's going on. So in coordinating with that, they have to make sure that everything is safe traffic-wise, et cetera, food or whatever is going to be happening in that particular area so that traffic can be routed accordingly. These are the kinds of things that are now becoming a little more prevalent. We're starting to see a little bit more of a police presence at a lot of block parties now. That never was the case in the past because in the past that was never really thought of as an issue up until recently, where you're starting to hear about things like this in block parties and other places where you're going to have, oh, somebody got into an argument with somebody else from two nights before, and they go into that person's block, and all of a sudden something starts. And you got,
they actually do have police block presence in certain areas. It goes based by the areas with high crime, especially a high crime area as far as Brownsville. You had 100 cops out there already,
yes,
you know, at this festival. It was not neglected as far as police presence. I've been to block parties in Bed-Stuy. I've seen police there on the block, on the physical block, no different than they'll be in. It goes by certain areas, but people think that nothing can happen because, oh, you live in a good area. Anything can happen anywhere.
Exactly.
The situation in California should show you that.
Take California. That was by a crazy known white kid who probably lost his mind, was one, like I said, with mental health. Compare that to, let's say, there's two shoes.
Who said it was
kids.
Mental health? You're assuming it was mental
saying,
health because he's white?
I'm not. Well, that's what they normally say. I'm not saying it for me, but that's how they like to portray it as. Well, let's be honest. How many times we hear mental health compared to a white person and compared to a black person, like yesterday's Saturday shooting, I guarantee they will compare those two kids, I'm just saying two kids, I don't know, in general, as thugs. You know the media will portray it as that. And that's the difference between white people and black
people. You'd be surprised how many black people have mental health too, but okay.
True.
No, what I think Hot Rod is getting at is I think that the way it's going to be portrayed in the media as opposed to the actual, you know how they say perception is reality? I think that's kind of the ideology behind it. Usually when the media portrays something like that, you usually will say, well, if it deals with somebody that is white that does a shooting in a mass area, they almost rationalize it as a mental health issue.
Did they report that already on the kid? That's my question. And I'm
not
sure I've seen the report.
I haven't heard anything.
And I
don't
haven't heard
surprise.
It. Yeah, I haven't
don't,
heard that
do not
yet.
Be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised. You're right. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, because, you know, they have to do the background history, check out what he did, what school he did, what type of parents he had, you know.
And that's
before
the
all of that is also for a cop-out when they're going to say mental health so he can get less sentencing, of course. That's what they're going to say it is, mental health, so he can get less sentencing, and that's really sad what they do.
That's the saddest part of the whole argument, is that you can almost verbatim predict where the investigation may go, where the media or whoever's doing the investigation, what you can almost predict what they're going to say about the situation, and you could probably be within 5% accuracy, or should say 85% accuracy of what they're going to say, give or take.
Well, so I'm like, for example, let's just say the white kid from California, parents are rich, you know, never spent time with them, blah, blah, blah. And you compare it to one kid from Brownsville, probably coming from a single home, you know, or foster home, never graduated from high school or something negative to fit the ratio of that. And they do that all the time. And like I said, that could match 5% of it, and they will take that 5% and blow it up to 100%. And that's the crazy part about that. But
and
I want to go now to the – go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kat.
No, I want to go down, since we talk about the police and the community, apparently there's been a lot of tension going on between the police and community, especially in New York. We want to talk about this topic last week, so we're trying to squeeze it in a little bit, how last week we had, like, hot summer days, very hot, that some sessions lost power in Brooklyn. And people need to find ways to cool off, so we have fire hydrants in New York City. And, you know, and people playing the streets and cool themselves out with water. There have been videos that seem to be trending of people throwing buckets of water towards cops in uniform as a disrespect. It happened in Brooklyn, it happened in Harlem, and some places around the country, like Atlanta. It seemed like a trend of how water been, you know, going on cops. Now, Sean Black, do you see this as just a new stupid trend, or because what happened with the Eric Garner case, how that cop got away, quote unquote, got away with murder or found not guilty from the trial from 5 years ago? Do you think the community or slash black people are getting tired of cops walking away, not being charged, and this is like a form of retaliation?
There has been a growing, I think it's always been there, but I think within the last 5 years or so, there has been a growing amount of apathy between the African-American community and the police. And as we've seen time and time again with Philando Castile and with Eric Garner and then Sandra Bland and all of the numerous names that I could rattle off.
Mike Brown.
Exactly. All of these names of African-Americans who seemingly were killed by police, either following the rules of what the police did, or the police did something extra, or show complete negligence, or whatever the excuse that was there that was used. And there seems to have been absolutely no comeuppance, as they say. When you see police getting away with a lot of these things that would be perceived as illegal, something that would put somebody in jail for breaking the law, for overstepping their boundaries, overstepping their jurisdiction as to what they're supposed to be doing. When you start to see these kinds of things happen, you seem to now have what a lot of people are trying to guess as the police now having retribution thrown at them in the only way that any quote-unquote civilian would have, which is to throw water on the police. And the one instance that you're talking about that seemingly started this trend was the police were actually making an arrest. And while the person was being arrested, a group of kids grabbed buckets of water that I guess they were using to wash cars or whatever, dumping the water on the cops. But it's not just the water. They threw the buckets at them all.
Buckets. At their head.
At their head.
So that's
now,
and that's a sign of complete disrespect.
Not only just complete disrespect, who knows what could have happened if, let's say, for instance, what I think a lot of people were kind of wondering, why the police officers didn't respond in kind to the way you would expect a police officer to respond. And I don't mean expected in the way that they were taught. I'm talking about expected in a way that you would think that you would see most police officers respond to African-Americans or other minorities. Because the instances that you're seeing on the news and in social media seem to suggest that a lot of the instances that are happening, that are being recorded, are in minority areas or being used, being perpetrated by minorities. So most people would be thinking, if this black person or this Hispanic person did this to a police officer, why is this the police officer not doing something in kind to defend themselves? And it makes you also wonder, you know, maybe they think in the back of their mind, if they respond based on the overall climate of what's going on now, a whole lot worse can happen going forward. So
yeah, but Sean, compare the case you just made to how many times we speak about this unarmed black men throw their hands up in the air and they still get shot, compared to a bucket being thrown. I'm sorry, as a cop, if someone threw something at you, something should have happened. I'm not saying that he should have got shot, but a bucket got thrown at you? Water? Cops should, there should have been some type of backup, and those people are supposed to be arrested on the spot. So that's disorderly conduct right there, besides being disrespectful.
And that's the reason why I think everybody is shocked that the police officers in these instances that were recorded didn't react in the way that you would have thought they would have reacted or potentially should have reacted. And one of them just was, like I said before, was in the middle of arresting somebody with the perpetrator that was being arrested on the hood of a car. So any number of things could have happened. What if you throw him a bucket at the cop's head? He has a gun in his hand while he's in the middle of arresting this person, and he would have turned around and shot one of the people that threw the bucket.
And I'll be happy to tell you that he deserved it.
As self-defense
I'll be
the police officer.
No, I will tell you. I will tell you. He deserved it because you started it. You know. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Queen T.
Go
ahead. What's the question?
You know, anything you'd like to add on to this?
As far as with that, I think the cops handle it how they were supposed to handle it. You got to remember, everybody
walk
is not going to handle the same situation how they need to. They have them on recording. They already arrested one of them, turned themselves in from one of the cases, and arrested, I think, two of the men. So everybody is not going to handle it. This, to me, is like cut down the line 50-50 on how they handle it. Would we have preferred to see the same old, someone got shot, or what was it that we were looking for? I don't understand. It's water,
but
number
what,
one.
But
so he threw water. Disorderly conduct, what I don't like about it is that they want to charge them with a felony charge. These kids had no weapons in their hand. It's always a felony charge.
That
now, let's
bucket
see.
Was a felony. That
no,
bucket
it's
was
not.
A, was a weapon.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry,
because it's not a form of a weapon. Water fell on them. Number one, they
no,
can
well,
totally
he threw
see
a, he threw
that
a bucket.
Water fell on them.
So you
so
also have
my,
to remember they also launched the buckets at one of the.
So
was,
that, that's
two
a
of
weapon.
The cops were actually hitting the head with the buckets. So and that instance, that is something that goes crosses past the
and water. That will be an assault charge on a lower crime. So my point that I'm making, had this happened in Long Island or something like that, and white boys did this, these guys would be then getting a slap on their wrist and said community service. They wouldn't be pushing as hard as felony charges.
Oh, no, they'd be claiming that mental health people. That's all. Oh, you white mental health. There you go.
We laugh about the mental health, but everybody doesn't get that mental health plea when that comes forth to the judge, just to let you know.
Which is the saddest part
so
of the whole thing. Because it's pretty much been that defense has almost been weaponized now. And what we're starting to see are the emboldening of people doing crimes, knowing that the police can't, quote-unquote, act a certain way, because there's a reputation, there's the uproar, there's the potential that the city, whoever, could turn. And a lot of instances can happen. So it's not necessarily saying turning a blind eye. It's kind of like picking and choosing your battles, because they know that there's a way that they want to respond to it, but there's also a way that they know that they need to address it. And I think that's kind of where they are on the fence as far as that goes, which is the reason why this discussion is raging on now since they started popping up on online and on the news.
Well, you talk about, retaliation, how people, you know, the tension between cops and the community. But at the same time, you have the shooting that happened in Brownsville. That's when you need the cops, right? So, like, one moment you want cops and one moment you don't want the cops in your neighborhood. You know.
It's really kind of sad, and everybody will take things totally different. So idiots want to throw water on cops. Idiots want to shoot up a peaceful environment with something going on. What's the difference? You have idiots everywhere.
And see, part of the problem,
people focus. Go ahead.
Part of the problem with this is that there is such a growing apathy towards the police where, and this is the saddest part, there are a lot of communities where African Americans are basically raised to be afraid of the cops. When I was growing up, you were told as a child, if something happens, go to the police. Call a police officer. If something's happening in the street, you get mugged, if something happens, go to the nearest police officer, get that person's attention, his or her attention, to help get help. Now we're in such a situation where everything has been weaponized. Everything has been demonized as far as the relationship between the police and the people that they're supposed to be policing in the communities, from the youth on the way up, that there's almost no relationship between the people within the city in the districts that the police are actually policing. And that's the scariest part.
Okay.
You also have a guy that walked into the precinct over the weekend, I think Saturday or Sunday, with a knife in East New York, walked right into the precinct. There's two people sitting in the lobby. They showed the footage on the news, clear as day footage. Cops drew their gun. One pulled out a taser. They reacted properly and tased him.
Exactly.
And this is East New York with...
He actually asked the police to kill him.
To shoot
him. Why didn't you shoot me? He was looking.
And they didn't. And they still didn't. Yep. They had the right to shoot, though. They definitely had the right to shoot because he had a weapon in his hand, too. But they didn't. So maybe all of this stuff with the justice as far as slowly starting with... you know, with the whole Eric Garner stuff, maybe cops are starting to think about stuff before they react. Possibly you'll have some that will, and then you'll have the ones that still will think, we're going to shoot these niggers.
Okay, before we go on, if I don't say this, I will never hear the end of this, because he's on the phone right now. Happy birthday, K-Dog. Happy birthday, K-Dog. Happy birthday, you get to that old K-Dog. Happy birthday. To you and many more.
Why, okay, thank you.
Did you do the jazz hands?
Back
you
to the show.
That
oh, yeah, all right. All right. Okay. All right. Kato gets
one. He's fighting 52 years old. Kato, take it away.
Yes.
Well, first off, I just got to say good evening, everybody. And unfortunately, with all these incidents going on, especially the shooting in Brownsville, which, I'm glad that Lady T clarified so much because, you know, since not everybody knows about Brownsville, and it's good to hear that, you know, you elaborated on that. And it's a sad situation. It's a very sad situation that it's very unfortunate that something like this happened in a peaceful event. And, of course, with the shooting in California, I mean, let's face it. Why is it every time that a mass shooting happens, and allow me to bring in race into this, but every time I notice that, well, the shooter had a mental problem, I'm like, really, every time the person has a gun, there's a mental problem, then there's a problem with, then unfortunately America has this love affair with guns, and they're selling it to anybody. And now...
So what can you say about that rule? What do you think should be the answer? I'm like, stolen background check? But you can't prove today that everyone or a lot of people have mental health issues. You can't really tell that in a background check. So how do you propose providing stronger background checks, especially white people?
Well, even though I have to say this, is that they should have a gun they should have a reform on the purchase of guns and the kind of guns that are being sold to certain people. And of course it is good to do a background check, but unfortunately that's not happening because, you know, when you have the NRA in the back pockets of these politicians, there's no way they're ever going to pass a gun reform law.
And also, John? I think part of the reasoning behind a lot of this, and this is something that we usually kind of skirt the line with, and we try not to bring it up as much, but it tends to work itself in there. The political climate of what's going on today is partially the reason why a lot of these attitudes and a lot of these things happen. I'm not going to go there too far, but you know where I'm headed.
No, I know where you're headed.
What we have in this society is such a powder keg waiting to explode when we have a political system that throws around racism like it is a weapon.
Division.
And there's also, like you just said, there's a lot of division between the races now. You have division between classes of people and different socioeconomic systems. And when you have that butting heads with what's going on now and a lot of people in different societies and in different neighborhoods that don't feel they have a chance to be able to make it past where they are, they're going to be more apt to fall into these kinds of situations that you hear about on a regular basis. A 19-year-old in California shooting at a bunch of people with an AK.
AK-47.
Exactly. You have another person in Brownsville shooting up a park full of people. We've had so many different violent situations in the last 2 months. Forget about the whole year. Just the last 2 months.
Yeah.
We don't even talk about it as much.
It's summertime.
All the time.
It's summertime. It's hot. Everybody can't handle the heat.
Well, let me tell you something else. Well, let me tell you this, though, and I'm sure all of you will agree with me, and unfortunately, like, right here in New York, you know how it is out here on these streets. And what I'm about to say is a reality. You know how, well, people get into altercations. I'm going to keep the language, the lingo clean. You know, when people get into altercations with certain people, and when you think that it's all done and over with, when summer comes about, you know, everybody's outside. What do you know? You know, people go outside and, you know, they think that the beef is over. But then after, you have some who want to keep it going. And, like, when I see that dude, I'm going to murder him. When I see that person, I'm going to murder him. And what do you know? They see the person they had a problem with. They have their hands on a gun. And all of a sudden, they pull out their guns and start shooting wildly. And meanwhile, what happens, what usually happens 90% of the time, an innocent bystander ends up getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see all of this happening all the time during the hot weather. People are like, wow, man, the streets are hot. I'm like, yeah, the streets are hot. That always happens.
Well, Arizona, it's hotter than here. People don't act like that.
But the difference is it's always hot in Arizona.
It's always hot.
They're used to that for the most part.
Exactly.
You know?
Those different laws in different states.
California's warm. People don't act like that.
What it is I don't necessarily think it's the weather that makes people lose
their
mind.
It's not.
I think what the ideology behind it is, especially in the Northeast, you get agitated because of the heat, and that brings up a little more of the chance that you're going to go out and do something. I personally don't buy that because I think people are going to do that regardless of the weather. But
people are going to do that regardless of the weather.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People are just, if somebody is predisposed to be violent, it's not going to make a difference whether it's 150 degrees or if it's 10 below. You're going to do something stupid. You're going to do something stupid.
Stupid, which
is
stupid.
All it
is
it's nicer weather, more events out. I can catch you. I didn't see you all winter. You've been hiding out all winter. Now I finally found you. Here I
mm-hmm.
go. That's all it is.
So I finally found you. Now I'm going to kill you now.
So we can pick up where we left off with this beef, where before people used to have fist fights. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I lost. That was it. I'm moving on. I'm not even going to stress that anymore. I see you in the street. I just don't like you. That's how it used to be in my generation. I don't know about you guys.
Exactly. Nowadays, everybody has a gun or a knife.
Well,
or they're getting some, or they're bringing
nowadays,
people to
jump too much
other
egos
people.
In the streets. Too much
Way
egos
too much.
In the street for
whoa,
me.
Whoa. Oh, hold on. Lee.
Especially
not
with
have
Hot
ego.
Rod in the street.
No.
He pot right out
I
the streets, please.
I don't have an ego for the record.
Okay.
Everyone knows that. But
I'm just waiting for
you
the lightning strike. Uh-oh.
Talking about ego.
Yeah, I know. Cover lightning.
Last week, Puerto Rico had a big protest by their governor. And after weeks of protest, the governor, quote-unquote, resigned and leaving in power on August 2nd. And I told Sean Black the other day, this is very rare I see a protest that have a major fence like this. So, Clean T, with the protest and the power of Puerto Rico, with the people protesting, do you think America could do something like that right now? Well, I remember, I say this all the time, protest does not work all the time. This is one of the rare occasions I see the protest, quote unquote, actually work.
No comprende on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't know how to respond to this. I've been avoiding this Puerto Rico crap right here.
I do not understand it.
I'm a little confused with it. I just don't get it, but I don't know. We won't be able to because of who we have in office, so that wouldn't work for us for him to step down like that, the way that they had him step down. Don't forget, each country, even in the islands, it's all different as far as how they run their government. So it's very, very interesting. I really just don't get it. I wish it was easier for us to get that done, but it's not the same.
No. So, Sean, do you think this protest was worth it for the people of Puerto Rico?
Oh, it's working for the people in Puerto Rico. The problem is now we're playing who wants to be the governor of Puerto Rico, because when Rosello actually stepped down, his second-in-command doesn't want the job. The person who was supposed to be second in command the weeks before, he quit. So now you have an island nation that has sovereignty with the United States that now has nobody, as Rosario is going to be out, I believe, by August 2nd. I think is when he's going to leave. What's going on is now that they don't have anybody that wants to take the job. And
why is that though?
Because Puerto Rico is so corrupt.
Yeah, she doesn't want it.
There's so many corrupt people in Puerto Rico. Basically, they want one corrupt guy out, but it's like
it's worth it, but there's nobody looking at the inside. Why no one wants it? They know something is going on when they take this job and the responsibility, that there's something extra going on with Puerto Rico.
There was a lot of those places have corrupt government. Hold on.
For example, imagine Trump and his corrupt people. If Trump is gone, you have another corrupt. It goes down the line. So no matter who takes that position, most likely under that cabinet of Puerto Rico, they had something dirty.
But
my Puerto Rican friends told me. Yeah, go ahead.
There's a difference. Is that the person that's second in command would take the job in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Yes.
Because if you know how bad the corruption and all the pitfalls are in Puerto Rico, they're still 2 years out from Hurricane Maria destroying the island. They're still a good chunk of the island that has yet to get any of these funds that are supposed to be allocated to make sure that houses are fixed. There's still places that don't have electricity, have clean water, and that's part of the reason why a lot of this stuff is going on. And then the current U.S. president who still is trying to figure out whether or not that they should really get aid to begin with and how to get it to them. There is almost no guarantee that they feel any comfort in the fact that if they do earmark money for the island, that is going to actually do the island any well, any justice, and know where it's going to go.
So at that point, you just stated, Sean, ask my friend. So you guys did all this protest, all this magic to get one guy out. What did he get out of it?
You got the guy out. But there's underlying factors that are not being brought to the media. That's my point. It's some sort of corruption, as Sean Black just explained. There's something else going on in there why somebody does not. It's almost like you ever been to a job and you already know the beef with the management team, what it may be. This one's quitting, that one's quitting. They say, hey, Hot Rod, you want to get promoted? You're like, nope, because you already know the inside scoop why you don't want to be on that team.
And no one wants to take that hot seat. It's too much. That seat is too damn hot to sit on it. So no matter who take over.
It's too hot to sit on it. It will burn you.
And also remember, here's the thing. The seat is hot, but the one that has the water is President Trump. So are you going to go to Trump to make sure that he cools your seat off?
Nope.
Oh,
you ain't going to trust him either.
He's loving this. He loved the governor for all the stuff that he said and everything. He probably agreed with the governor. The governor is a Republican. Go figure. You know. As one of the rest, well, you think Trump will defend this guy. You know, at least. Or will step in. But he has not. He's watched his hands clean because to him, Puerto Rico is not part of the of the United States.
Trump has shown that he doesn't really care about Puerto Rico or the plight of Puerto Ricans, not just in Puerto Rico, but other native Puerto Ricans that are in the United States around the nation that are sympathizing with what the heck is going on. And in New York and in certain parts of the Northeast, where you can see them protesting alongside of the fellow Puerto Ricans, because they showed that on the news as well, in solidarity to what they're going through as support. And with all of this going on now, the next step is, where do we go from here? And I don't think they know yet, although they've gotten the governor is gone. At the end of this week, he's gone. The question is, what next? You get somebody in now who is going to be a puppet, or are you going to get somebody in there that's going to actually try and do what they can to make sure that Puerto Rico is back to being the beautiful country that it has always been?
Okay, real quickly, let's go to Mueller. A couple weeks ago, last week, Mueller wasted TV time and wasted our time, like, 8 hours, to talk about nothing. Sean Black, do you think the Mueller hearing was a harm or it does damage overall? Or you just think it was a complete waste of time?
I don't think it was a waste of time. I just think he reiterated everything that he did. He couldn't talk about too much because of the other cases that are going on against the administration and against the president in the Southern District of New York. But basically,
so it was a waste of time.
No, it's not a waste of time. Here's why.
No.
How many people actually read the Mueller report?
I read 2 pages out of it.
That's the reason why this hearing is important.
Right.
And the reason why is the people that know of the Mueller report but did not read the Mueller report, they needed a visual aid and to be able to put something as large as a voice to the report so that they can know exactly what was going on. Because what you took out of the 8 hours of testimony was pretty much everything that was already in the report, which was, and this has been proven, that Russia enacted a plan to rig the election to aid Donald Trump. Donald Trump did everything that he can to accept that help. That is as plain as day in the report, and that's pretty much what Mueller reiterated. And he stated himself that because of the ruling that was done in 1973, that a sitting president cannot be indicted or put on trial for any federal chicanery, he did say that if he does get out of office, he can be prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
He also stated that if there was something that needed to be done, it is up to Congress to do it. And he left it in the lap of Congress to do their job.
But Congress is not going to do anything because there's no solid evidence.
And that's the reason why he did what he did. Because people don't realize this. Mueller is a Republican, which people don't realize because nobody really knew what he looked like before all of this stuff happened. But he has left it in the lap of the people and the governing body, the ones that are in charge of the laws. Do you, do I, or anyone else at this panel believe that they're going to do the right thing? Probably not. But he at least left it at the lap of the people that are in charge to take I did in the investigation and move it to where you can take care of this and hold people accountable. If the government doesn't want to hold anyone accountable, that's on them. But he left it right in their lap to finish up what he started.
So
as
Quinn
he's
Key,
supposed
should,
to.
Should the government take action against Donald Trump, Quinn Key?
They may take action. We don't know what they're going to do. Did anybody sit down and watch the whole 8 hours versus watching it with the news reporting it to you with highlights and so forth? I sat down and watched it. If you're familiar with like trial minutes and things like that, when things go to the Supreme Court, let's say, there are certain things that are preserved. He stuck to his report, which was good. Certain things he did not want to talk about that's left for the next investigation that's going on. They also, while it was going on, showed you the actual minutes from his report and so forth on the side of the screen, depending on which channel you was watching. I was watching too. They also highlighted all of these other people who were brought up in this report and what their crimes was. And noticeably, all of these people also pleaded guilty and so forth.
Exactly.
Even down to this Russian lady that they keep talking about. So you pleaded guilty. You are guilty at this point. You do know that when you take a guilty plea. You're
but,
just getting
I
a lesson.
Find it funny,
you're
but
just getting a lesson.
Says that this is a witch hunt. Then
no, it's not
report,
a witch hunt. What it is.
It's definitely not
a
witch
bunch
hunt.
Of witches because there's at least 30 people in jail over this whole
right.
investigation.
And,
exactly.
And how many
yes,
of those
is.
That pleaded guilty and so forth? Because you plead guilty, you don't have to even speak on this after. You already served your little minimum time or whatever your lesser time for this guilty plea. You have to also remember that. But there's another ongoing investigation going on after this. So
exactly.
You can't impeach him now, but what if he loses the election? And one of those questions was actually brought up from someone on the Republican side on Congress. Well, what if he loses it? Can you explain how this would go? Let's say if he loses the election, sure, they can go ahead if Congress wants to. What if he gets reelected? They explained. Oh, then that may be statutes of limitation already ran out, so you won't be able to either way. So either way, it's up to the American people also to go out there and vote. People
exactly.
keep thinking,
that's,
oh, my votes don't count. You want to keep thinking that? You keep thinking that. Have fun, and we may have him for the nonsense. I don't know what he's done this 4 years, but you may have more nonsense. So it's
and
up to the voters
reason,
also. It's up to Congress.
This is
exactly.
one of the reasons why the president continues to stonewall every investigation that comes his way, knowing that the statute of limitations, if he's to serve a second term, you figure by the sixth or seventh year, it'll have run out. So he
yes,
knows
it will.
That it's imperative for him if he wants to stave away being in a cell with Big Bubba. He's going to actually have
yeah.
to make
if
sure
still alive,
that he does
he's still
not.
Alive.
If he does not get this second term, he knows that he's got indictments and lawsuits and a whole lot of court drama waiting for
and,
him.
And that's
life.
Why. And that's why he is doing the best he can to distract the American people from this by with his nonsense, with all the things that he's doing now. Attacking people in Congress, saying all this controversial stuff. But you know what it is? It's like he's trying to distract people. And
why?
Before you
by,
know
by,
it, before
by
you know
out
it,
by breaking that rapper out of jail, by breaking a rapper out of jail in Sweden.
What rapper out of jail? What rapper out of jail that he's going to break out? Listen,
well,
the Swedish people don't want to talk to him. They want nothing to do with him. They even said
Melania may help, but may be able to help with that. But that rapper already said he don't care. He don't have anything to do with the black community. He
mm-hmm.
is who he is. He's from where he is. He said this in an article in one of the rap magazines when he was
I'm
explaining why he
Los
don't
Angeles.
Do for his community. But why do you guys still purchase his music and put money in his hand regardless?
Because
and now he's crying for America to help him get out of Sweden with whatever he did. It's like, come on, man. Think when you go overseas, man.
Exactly.
Because once again, us black people are our own worst enemy. That's about it.
Some black
well,
people.
Go ahead, Kato.
Some black people, though.
Some.
It's really
yeah,
bad.
Some.
It's sad.
It
really is.
Well, there's one more thing I forgot to mention earlier from the cop segment. Like I told Sean Black, all the craziness that's going on with the cops and the police, this year alone, especially in June and July, 7 cops have committed suicide in New York City. That's a high number rate. We talk about stress, mental illness, and everything. Sean, what can you take out of this cop thing? With everything that's going on between the tension between the community and the cops, do you think that's another reason why cops suicide are rising right now?
I think the police are in a real precarious position right now where they feel that they're not able to do their jobs the way that they feel they need to. And I think between the pressures of being deemed automatically wearing blue in the eyes of many people, you're already racist. In the eyes of many people, if you're wearing a cop badge, you're already anti-black, anti-Hispanic, anti-race. Dealing with that plus the pressures of the job itself, the long hours, going into neighborhoods that you're probably not familiar with, not being familiar with the community, debt, being married, having kids, not knowing if you're going to come home the next night, all of those things that go down, I think is a huge factor, is one of the reasons why we see so many police officers committing suicide, which is really, really sad and unfortunate. But this is kind of one of these, it's probably something that's been happening for a long time, but this year mostly it's been highlighted a lot because this is starting to sound like an epidemic.
I have to be a devil's advocate, Sean, but what about the people, you know, some people say this, you know, I'm not saying no names, screw the cops. They're out there killing black men right now. We're killing our black children, killing us in general. Why should we care about them?
Not all black people. It's really unfortunate. And not all cops are cop killers. You do have some that do good for their community. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's no different than war vets and so forth that may need mental health. They need to put mental health programs in a lot of things. They need to put mental health programs in communities where people, especially, I'm sorry to say, men have an issue with, oh, you may need counseling. Oh, they see it as, oh, I'm weak. You think I'm weak? No, you really need counseling. You may need anger management. But this ego that, like, even with the cops, there was cops that said, oh, they're not, you know, the bold blue. They were supposed to do more when that, you know, the water hit, whatever the case may be. They were looked at as really punks. But why? I'm not understanding. What is it that men have an issue with your ego? Why you cannot get the help when you need it? Why is now crying out for help a problem as far as mental health? You should understand how many men need help, especially in certain communities, especially, let's say, after coming home from jail and war and their jobs that they're going through with much
and
pressure.
And not to mention,
and
all
the sad part is, it's about male pride.
Hold on, K-Dog talk. Go ahead.
You know what the sad part is? You know what the reality of it is? And I'm going to say this boldly. A lot of these men have male pride. And like Lady T said, It's sad because you know what? I'm all right. No, you're not all right, especially when you're having nightmares. You're not all right if you all of a sudden you just black out. You're not all right because you're out there on the streets fighting crime as a police officer. You see a lot of things. You see dead bodies. You're involved in shootings. You're trying to apprehend a dangerous suspect. The same goes for anybody, whether you're a police officer, whether you're a firefighter, or whether you're in the military, any form of combat that you see, it has an effect on you. But unfortunately, I don't need the help. I'm all right. You're not okay. You're not. Because at any given moment, you could snap.
And I'm pretty sure there are a ton of police officers, both male and female, that are probably going through some form of PTSD on a regular basis. I had a family member that used to be a cop a long time ago. I used to always talk about those kinds of things that you would, you know, go through and have waking up with bad dreams and those kinds of things. So, yeah, you tend to realize that there are a lot of things that are both talked about and that are unspoken that police officers have to deal with on a regular basis that they just don't know how to deal with. And because of, like you said, because of male pride and other factors, they keep to themselves until they just can't anymore.
Okay, on that note, K-Dog, later on, please text me your address because for your birthday, I will buy and send you a new microphone. I'm sick and tired of that cheap-ass microphone we've been using for over a year now. Yeah, I can't hardly hear you. For a new mic.
Well, you know what? Could you hear me clearly now?
No.
No, just be quiet. Don't do me that favor. I am tired of that cheap-ass microphone.
Hey, dog, I just think it's cold word for them to tell you to shut up. That's what
I'm saying. Oh, man.
But in a nice way, though. And I know, but seriously, overall, if you're stressed out, if you're depressed, go seek help. There's always someone to talk to. You know, trust me, I'm depressed, and I'm depressed every time I talk to these three people on the panel. Every time
we depressed, just hearing you. What you talking about? Just your voice alone is depressing. Oh gosh, I'm gonna seek help in the morning first thing after this show.
Of course.
Well, you know what?
He mostly perks up when we get to do this show. Whether he wants to admit that or not, he seems to perk up. He's a little happier when
he's
around.
Listen, you three guys, I got to start drinking right now, okay? Well, on that note, Lady T, Sean Black, K-Dog, thank you so much. Have a good night. God bless.
Good night. Good
see
night.
You next time.
Peace out,
as always. A pleasure.
Was all yours.
Wait a minute. You guys really do make me sick, you know. All three of you. Just for the record. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, y'all. Yeah.